Good morning, 7:40 here on the Mighty 690. And it is a Friday, means it's time for a legislative update. And joining us on the line, we have State Representative Doug Blex. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Well, good morning to you. And give you a little update on what happened the last waning hours of the legislature. We are now officially adjourned and signed die for the duration of the year. There may be some interim committees, or we might possibly have a special session, but right now I get to be home for a while, so that's a good break.
Hey, that's good. Yeah, we'll talk about that here in just a little bit here. I know you had a late night, but first of all, of course, we always like to start the beginning of the month, got some of those revenue numbers out, and I know you always like to help us break down those, so where do you want to start with that?
Well, obviously, April is the tax collection month, and certainly the income tax, and revenue's usually up that time. But we were actually, overall, the expectations and estimates, we were $101 million over, and that represents about a 14% above last month as far as individual income tax, and actually about a 25% increase over the same time last year. And now sales wasn't near as strong because of the individual income tax April 15th date. So we had just slightly about 1.1% increase, and that ironically was down about 9% over the same time a year ago. So projections did come in good. We fluctuate a little bit, but actually still overall budget of the state of Kansas is in really good shape.
Excellent. Well, that's good to hear on that. Now, moving on to, you know, some of the I think you said it best when we were talking off air a little bit, the tax bill fiasco. I mean, it really is. There's no better word to describe it. So where do we stand with that? What's the latest there?
Well, we still don't know if we've got a tax bill yet. The Republican-led legislature, there's 165 of us total up there, and there's 125 representatives and 40 senators. And for the last over 2 years, we've been working on a variety of tax bills. And the House has an exceptional tax chair that really, really gets into this, put in a ton of work, and has worked really, really hard. Really a straight-shooting guy from way out near the Colorado border, Representative Smith. And he's just done a fantastic job in that House Tax Committee of working out situations that would benefit all taxpayers. And and each time, actually the governor has actually vetoed major tax legislation 6 times. And if she vetoes this new one that come up, and it will be the 7th time, which is a really kind of a bad deal, because out of 165 legislators, 133 of us, and obviously that represents both Republican and Democrat sides that have voted that. Ironically, the original bill that we thought was really good, which actually went from the single, we started out with a single flat rate tax, and basically the governor didn't like that. And we understood that, so we went and met her and talked with her and basically come up with a compromise and come up with a two-tier in House Bill 2306, and it actually passed the House 123-0. I've never seen a tax bill particularly pass with that kind of a margin. Just absolutely everybody voted for it. Everybody felt it had a good base in there for property tax reduction, food tax, sales tax elimination, and the Social Security cliff. That was some major issues that we'd worked on. And that went over to the Senate. And ironically, the governor vetoed it. And then it went over to the House. And we actually passed the good margin on it. And I believe it was 104-15. So we actually had a good margin there, and which indicates that because there's 85 Republicans and 40 Democrats in the House. So you have to have a few Democrats vote for it when it gets that kind of margin. So basically, it got to the Senate, and one senator who had actually voted for it on the first round switched his vote and was a no vote. So they were one short vote shy of an override there. So there he was scrambling, you know, midnight hours type things to put together another bill, because our goal is to really get Kansas taxpayers some relief. I mean, we got nearly $3 billion in the coffers as a surplus, and we really just don't need to hold that money in our account. It really needs to go back to the taxpayers, and they're the ones that worked hard to put it there. So at about around midnight, they finally, conference committees worked together and finally come up with another bill. Of course, this is one of the things I caution people about, my constituents, about House bill and Senate bill numbers, because they can change quickly. And as in this case, went over at 2306, we've had several Senate Bill 37 and went, or finally ended up Senate Bill 37, a totally different bill number. So when you're tracking these things, sometimes things change, particularly at the 11th hour. And the compromise was that we would actually still have the two-tier tax rate, because previously Kansas had a three-tier tax rate. And it was progressive, so it would be 5.2% for up to 23,000, and then if once you got $1, $23,000, it would go to 5.57. And so it still is sustainable. We projected, normally we project cost of things, what reduction in tax revenue out to maybe 3 years. This one we projected out to 5 years, and it's still very sustainable. It'll end up with about a $430 million around that area. It'll vary a little bit year by year. Tax cut, which is a tax savings to back to the Kansas taxpayers. So all in all, we're now waiting for the governor to make that decision as to whether she's going to veto it again, which would probably require a special session. And of course, in the midst of all of this flurry of veto and all this, Topeka had sounded tornado sirens, and we were on the floor. And when you're on the floor, you have to be sitting in your seat when we do final action. I mean, nobody can get up and move around. And somebody hollered out the north window of the House chamber that they'd seen a tornado. And it was almost comical. I mean, it was just like Covey, a quail, the people scattered. And they actually had the doors shut, because they shut the doors on the chamber and don't allow anybody any access. You can't get up and move around. And one of the legislators from that side bolted through the doors that were closed. And so we had a little bit of, I guess, maybe fun after it settled down, but it was kind of a scurry of vote there. So that's kind of where we're at with the governor. We're waiting on her to decide whether she's going to deny tax relief for the Kansas taxpayers for the seventh time if she vetoes this one. So it's been a struggle, and it's been a lot of back and forth.
Well, it certainly sounds like it. And, I mean, what was her issue with the last bill that came through? Because, I mean, I know that one had, you know, quite a bit of support, and I think a lot of people were surprised when she vetoed this last one.
Yeah, we were. I mean, everybody thought when they seen that 123-0, that means that, and she went before the Democrat caucus just that same day, and I heard a lot of grumbling about some of the comments. I don't know what comments was made, but from some of my fellow Democrats, that they weren't really overly happy, thought, because they were getting pressure from their constituents, just like the Republicans are. Inflation is all-time high. People are struggling, and certainly lower-income people really struggle. So, but her thought process, I think really she had made the public statement that she would not accept a single rate tax. She was unwilling to back up on that. And when we come back with a two-tier tax, that was still not as progressive. She kept using that simply was not true, because right now Senate Bill 37 is within $3 million of the governor's recommendation for her tax plan, which is, and $3 million is a lot to us, but up there in the Kansas, you know, legislative budget, it is just absolutely peanuts. And so that's how close we are right now with this current bill. So it seems like every time we've tried to meet in the middle or do a compromise, somehow the goalposts get moved. And we think we got her satisfied, and no. So I'm not sure of all the reasons. It is election year, and people get kind of crazy about how they vote, how they do things, what they take credit for or not. So but her basic philosophy reason was she does not believe it's sustainable, and that just simply wasn't true. The facts and figures did not back that statement up.
Gotcha. So how soon do you think we'll know whether or not she vetoes this? How long does these usually take?
Well, technically, any bill that's sent to her desk has 10 days. The governor has 10 days to do something with it. She can either veto it, she can let it sit on her desk for 10 days without her signature, and it will automatically become law, or she can actually sign the bill. So those are the three options. So within the 10-day period, probably got to her, well, I say that next day, but we didn't get out till that morning anyhow on a Wednesday. So it would probably be 10 days from this past Wednesday, we should know.
Okay. Well, I know, like you said, you guys got out of there pretty late, and you got back here to Southeast Kansas very early this morning. Is there anything else here in the immediate that you guys are going to be working on? Obviously, you don't know if you're going to be going back to Topeka, but anything else kind of that you want to talk about here today that's coming up?
Well, the veto, we did override quite a few vetoes. Now, we lost the omnibus bill. Just for perspective of what it cost to operate the state of Kansas, our omnibus bill, which is a big kind of mega bill, budget bill, and ironically, that's the only constitutional requirement as legislatures we have. We must pass a budget. We simply must pass a budget, you know, to fund the operation of the state. So that total this year comes to $25.4 billion, which is B with a B, B with a billion, is a lot of money. However, of that $25 billion, only $10 billion, well, I say only $10 billion, that's still a lot of money. $10 billion is state general fund, which would come from Kansas taxpayers. The others are either fee funds with some state agencies, like some state agencies are fee funded, and that would be federal government money that comes in. So that's total expenditures, but that has increased, and we get a lot of grousing and griping about that. But anytime you have a good, decent project, inflation affects the government too. But some of the things that's near and dear to my heart, actually, in addition to the $35 million that the House Bill 2302 we passed in the Water Committee a year ago, we got an additional $10 million that was transferred from the state general fund into that state water plan fund, and then actually another $6 million from the state general fund for small town infrastructure water projects as related to drinking and wastewater. Now that would be only for towns of population of under 1,000, but technically that's another $16 million dollars that will go to area Kansas towns and water issues around. So you add that on to that $35 million, which a new round of application will start in July for that half fiscal year. We had $18 million in projects, and I will be attending Kaney City Commission meeting on Monday and explain, because they were led to believe, and everybody else, that they'd be first priority, and they actually didn't get the grant on the first round, but that was because they really wasn't ready for it yet, and I've got assurance that you know, from the water office that they will be in line for that. So I'm proud of that. Like I say, that'll bring that total of up to over $55, $60 million that will be dedicated to water. So that's been a real goal and a passion of mine.
Oh, I know. It sure has been. So that's good information. Appreciate you sharing that. We're talking with State Representative Doug Blux. And, sir, as we wrap up today, anything else you'd like to share with the listeners?
Well, we did the veto override. We did get a lot of publicity on that, the transgender protection bill, which would not allow any transgender surgeries, change of biological sex or hormone theory. We did lose that on the governor's override. It was 82, and we needed 84, so that bill went away in its form. So a lot of people were disappointed over that. I had a lot of emails and calls over that. The people actually wanted to protect our kids under 18 from something that they may regret the rest of their life that wouldn't be, they couldn't change back to. So that was the only disappointment. But other than that, we had a really successful override of a lot of the bills the governor had vetoed.
All right. Well, sir, appreciate you joining us today, and I hope you can get a little bit of rest after that late night.
All righty. Thank you. You guys have a good day.
All right. Yep, you take care. Thank you so much. That is State Representative Doug Blux, who joins us the first Friday of the month here on the Mighty 690. And coming up, we are going to have our Ask the Expert segment with Charles Skank of Skank Insurance. That's straight ahead here, 61 degrees right now, at the KGGF Studios in downtown Coffeyville.